can't find the light to guide you through a cloud of day. When the stars ain't shining bright, it feels like you've lost your way. When the candlelights of home burn so very far.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Right Side Up with your hosts, Bill Huff and Mike Tagliavia, where we're talking local politics with an emphasis on what's happening in your neighborhood. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, before we get started, everywhere I go these days, I run into listeners, and they comment on the program. So I just wanted to do a quick shout-out here to Chris, probably on his tractor. When he's out working in the morning, lots of times he says he's listening to the radio program when he's out working on the tractor. And heard from another listener, old-time friend, we used to work together ages ago. She moved away, but just a quick shout-out to AJ as well. Thanks for listening. We appreciate your feedback.
We had an email from, I think the gentleman was Bill. I read his whole email. Bill, thank you very much. I agree with you wholeheartedly with that email. So, and we're trying to bring up some of those points. He referred to Javier Milei down in South America. What is what country? I forgot the country now because I need to remember. But you know, he's doing things that need to be done here. You know, and he's wondering why we're doing what we're doing. This newly elected leader down in South America. So,
no, that's actually a good point. There's a lot of people that immigrated here legally years ago, and they're absolutely disgusted at what's going on our southern border.
They're scratching their head, saying, "What? The United States is doing what?"
Well, they're here. Probably because of the same reasons that most people are crossing the border, and that's for economic reasons. They wanted a better life, and they've worked hard to do that, and they're welcome in our community. They got here correctly, went through the process, and now to see people just streaming across the border, and they're being housed and fed and given cell phones, and I mean it goes on. And a lot of the Latinos in particular are just disgusted.
Well, they see the precursors of what happened in the countries they fled.
Sure, they left that sort of thing.
Bang the pots and pans and let us know. Yep. And others, like you and I know, that's why we're talking about it all the time on the show. But they're trying to let others who apparently don't see it coming. So
Right. They've lived through it. Before in the country that they left.
Hey,
we've been talking about Act 127 ad nauseum, maybe to some people, but I tell you what, this is something that has to be dealt with. Over 30 school districts turned down their school budgets, and I think primarily as a result of Act 127 and what it did to all of us, and across the board average of 20% school tax rate increase.
That should be number one on the list to repeal when we get a new legislature.
Oh, I think so too, and I think I mentioned before that I said that very thing to my representative Rebecca Holcomb.
Right.
And no, we don't want to repeal that, and they don't.
Well, like
this is social engineering, and they're
it's exactly
they'll be damned
what it
if
is.
They want to try to get rid of that. They want to continue that.
Well, like we talked about off air, I believe the push is for this state to be nothing more than a vacation state. It's going to be a state of very wealthy, with a few poor service provider people, workers, as the socialists talk about, and that's going to be all it will be. And the workers are going to be invited into communities to provide whatever services they are, and then they're going to be told to go home. You know, you can get here by 6 in the morning, but you better be gone by 6 p.m. Right. I really believe that's what's going to happen.
Well, we're headed down that road for sure. But I did want to point out an article by Michael Stack. He was on Vermont Daily Chronicle, on Guy Page's Vermont Daily Chronicle. And he had a different take on Act 127 than mine. But I thought it was interesting. And it's entitled Chittenden County Wins Big in Equity School Funding. And this is, it's all it's supposedly about equity. But he points out the fact that Burlington, in particular, their budget was up about $15 million. And that, you know, it's they are able to do that because of this equalized student thing. Their equalized student population increased just phenomenally. So when you plug that into the funding formula, of course, they're going to get more money. But he points out the fact that $9.5 million of that $15 million increase was actually a debt service payments for building the new high school. And then he goes on to point out that their budget passed by over 70%, even though it was going to result in higher income taxes even for those people, but nothing like it is for everybody else. But his point was that here's Burlington with that large of a budget increase, and yet they passed it anyway. It's because we're all paying for it.
We're paying into it. They're welcoming of other people's money into their budget. That's why they passed it.
Yeah, he says that in his article here. Does this indicate that Burlington is just one super supportive community when it comes to student education? Or maybe they just know a good deal when they see it.
Yeah, they know a good deal when they see it. It's a windfall.
Yep.
To our detriment, it's a windfall to them.
Yeah, not only are we supporting the students in their school, but we're helping them service their debt on a school that they just built. $9.5 million every year in just debt service. I won't dwell on it here, but he points out the same thing in a couple of other different Chittenden County towns. One was Winooski. Their projected budget was up $8.4 million, up 40% year over year. And when you do the numbers like I suggested, that's spending $37,000 per student, which is well above, any of the averages. But here again, voters snapped up this oversized budget increase with a 70% yes vote. And he goes on to say, and I'll finish this up here quick, are the students in the largest districts more equal than others? Obviously, the answer to that rhetorical question is no, but who is going to do something about it? In the meantime, our taxpayers and taxpayers in multiple smaller districts are picking up the tab for new multi-million dollar high school serving the students of Chittenden County.
Yeah, to go back when this was originally thought of, I'm sure that was the plan. That was the plan.
Oh, it is.
These larger cities, these larger towns subsidized by everybody in the state.
Well, I was at a meeting last night in Castleton, and I was talking to, Senator Terry Williams and Gerald Malloy, the candidate for U.S. Senate.
Yep.
And I was explaining to them that everything in Montpelier now goes through this equity filter.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're digging ditches or whatever. It's got to be through the eyes of this equity filter. And if you happen to be from a town that on average is wealthier than the others, the legislature wants to do something about that. You're going to pay.
It's just wrong, just plain wrong. Redistribution never works. Socialism never works. We have the history to prove it. And if we don't teach our young people the history that proves it, we are going to suffer the consequences. And it's not like they're that far away if we don't wise our young people up to it.
No, we're headed down that path. You're absolutely right, Mike. We're headed down that path now. We're so far deep into socialism at this point. I think it was last week, maybe, or maybe the week before, we talked about the baby bonds.
Yes.
And that's going to pass. I'm not hearing anything about it. Nobody's writing anything about it. Nobody's talking about it. It's just like the retirement fund bill last year that nobody talked about, and it just sailed through. Called and say, no, we don't want this. So sail through this baby bond thing that'll cost the state over $3 million a year to give money away.
Yeah.
It's going to pass.
And where is it going to come from?
Taxpayers. AJ and Chris and Bill.
I guess, but you can only bleed people so dry. And I know there are numbers of people. I've talked to people in this county and in southern Vermont who have had legislators say, well, you know, if you can't afford the taxes when you sell, somebody will come along who can afford it. That's one hell of an attitude to have voters.
Our senator from Orange County, Mark McDonald?
That was one of them. But there was also, apparently, there's somebody from down in southern Vermont who has the same attitude.
Yeah,
it's really sad.
They really don't care. We're gonna get into that a little bit in the next segment about just how little these legislatures care about you and I.
Yeah,
it is unbelievable.
They come to you, want your vote, and then they quickly ignore what you have to say.
Yeah, I do want to touch. Stay on the topic of the school funding just briefly, and touch on what will be proposed as the fix, and I know this is coming, and I just want to prepare people for what's coming. There's a couple of ideas floating around Montpelier already as an alternative to school funding, because now this isn't working for everybody. So one of the things that they want to try to do is tax unrealized gains.
Oh, this is insane.
Well, it is.
This is insane.
So, and maybe people aren't familiar with the terminology, and Montpelier loves to use terminology that people don't understand, so they can't object to it. But it's in the federal tax code. If you sell something that has appreciated in value, that's when you realize the gain, and you're taxed on it.
Yes.
An unrealized gain just means that you own something that has appreciated.
So, and like,
they want to tax it.
For example, if you purchase your home for $200,000, and when it comes time for you to sell it for whatever reason they may be, it's now worth $400,000. If you're still living in your home and it's worth that much, somebody in the government decides they want a piece of your equity before you even get it yourself.
Absolutely. They want to tax an unrealized gain. So take your example, for instance.
That's insanity.
You bought a $200,000 home. At the end of that first year, they're going to say, oh, that's valued at $220,000. Now, they're going to tax you on the $20,000 gain that your property appreciated.
And then what?
You know, the next year, when it's worth $240,000, you're going to pay tax on another $20,000 gain.
So in other words, you're never going to actually see any appreciation for yourself, because it's all going to be taxed right out of it.
It would override federal tax code.
Right.
And I know these people are not thinking of the unintended consequences.
I don't think they care.
No, they don't care, but they don't understand. If they're even proposing something as preposterous as this, they don't understand.
I got a question, if I can interrupt you. I know the answer already, but I'm going to put it out there for our listeners, because they probably already know too. What are they going to do? What are these legislators going to do in this proposed legislation? Is there going to be anything to cover me if the market goes down and I lose value in my home? Are they going to compensate? Oh, okay. I get it.
So December 31st, you own a stock, and they're going to tax you on that valuation. But January 1, the market collapses, and now it's not worth it.
Sorry about my luck.
They're going to give you your money back, Mike? Really? Seriously? Of course not. But here's another thing. The tax code, and people don't understand this, is written in a fashion that promotes social engineering and well-being already. We have a progressive tax code. One of the items that means a lot to a lot of people is the ability to gift an appreciated asset to a charity. And you do that to avoid the taxes, and the tax code is written so that there's an incentive for you to give that money to a charity. If we're taxing that asset every single year, bye-bye, charity.
Yeah. Well, no.
You're taxed on it every year. There's no incentive now to give to a charity.
You hit on another point. Government, the people who want the power, who are in government just because of the power, they want to be the only charitable ones in the world. They want
we're going to get everything from government.
Yes.
Everything's going to be a handout.
There will be no, individual that can be charitable or better at being charitable than the government. They don't want to compete with anybody.
even proposing something as preposterous as this just flies in the face of sanity. They clearly don't understand, but our listeners are going to understand. We're going to be right back, and we're gonna tell you some more. So don't go away. Just a few more minutes, and we'll be right back with more Right Side Up. We're back. You're listening to Right Side Up. Mike, that seems like we're in church. Is that church music?
No, this is...
It felt like gospel-like. I felt like...
I don't know. We're preaching.
Yeah.
Blues. This is blues. Warren Haynes. Blues. Soul Shine.
Well, there you go. Oh. See, there's some soul or some yeah. gospel that we're preaching to our, yeah. our flock, informing them of how bad they're getting stuck, how bad they're getting knifed in the yeah. back.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And not only that, but trying to rally them.
Yes.
This is the main point. We are trying to rally people, to energize people, to speak up. It doesn't make any sense anymore to be the silent majority. Do not be silent about this anymore. You can't.
I have maintained for as long as I've been involved in politics in this state that we're not outnumbered.
No, I don't believe it either.
We get outvoted.
We get outvoted because there's too much apathy, and I am yep. hoping that we can reverse that.
We have to. That wouldn't, yeah. you know, and at some point, people are going to get motivated enough to actually go out and vote. It does yeah. make a difference. You can't sit at home.
No.
I mean, they're sending the ballot to your house. How much effort does it take to right. sit at the kitchen table after supper one night and color in a couple of ovals?
Yeah.
Throw the thing back in the envelope and mail it in. And yeah. people won't even take the time to do that.
Well, I hope that changes. It's not a big deal to go out on election day and vote. It's like one of those things. It's just, yeah. it's part of being a citizen. You know, it's
yes.
one of the things, yeah. you know, if you're going to be a citizen in this country, that's to me, it's just an obligation you have to fulfill.
So one more thing, loosely on Act 127 before we move on. I mentioned last segment that... there are some proposals floating around, and one is we talked about
supposed
tax,
fix.
Yeah, tax unrealized gains. Oh my word!
Yeah,
and this one we hear all the time. Well, all we have to do, Mike, is tax the rich, make them pay their fair share, and apparently that message resonates with everybody. You know, well, I'm not rich, so yeah, they just want to tax somebody else,
right?
So well. here's the myth. Behind all that, my word, do not let your legislators try to fund this, what is it, $2.2 billion education bill on the backs of income. As bad as the real estate tax is, I'm going to tell you that taxing income would make it 10 times worse.
Yes.
And the reason is, and here again, our legislators don't understand finance. They don't understand money. They don't understand the tax code. People that are rich, Mike, don't work for wages. They don't get a W-2, you know, come tax time. They when they make money, it's through rents. It's through royalties. It's through capital gains.
It's through bonuses.
Well, it's a number
it's
of
through
different
everything,
reasons
like you
that
said,
do not
payroll
show
taxes,
up on your
right.
W-2.
Right.
And guess what? Those kinds of income can easily be, I don't want to say manipulated, but they can be moved.
Well,
to,
they can
to,
be
to
sheltered
ta-
because of what how the tax laws are written. The people with a lot of money, in most cases, I can't say in all cases, but in most cases have earned it because they were willing to take some sort of a risk.
Oh, absolutely.
And we can't ignore that those people are out there because they are the ones who start the businesses, who have the payroll and employ scores and scores of Vermonters.
Yeah,
if you use Vermont as an example. So you know, if they're willing to take the risk, we can't be penalizing them, because in the end, we're only penalizing ourselves.
Yeah, and that's the way the federal tax code is written. It is a matter of social engineering, always has been, and there are good things about it. The ability to deduct home mortgage interest.
Right.
That encourages people to buy homes. I mean, there's a reason that the tax code is written like that. And the word I was looking for was shifted. They can shift income. I've done it myself.
Right. Why?
You can shift income to avoid taxation.
The bounds of the tax code. You didn't
cheat. These people do too.
Right. Exactly. Because they pay people who advise them. Like, sure. I don't know. You knew because you of the
profession.
I was a
certified financial planner.
Right. But the people who are generating all this kind of income, if they don't know the tax code themselves, they're paying people who do know it inside and out.
If you're working for wages, if you're working for an hourly wage and you collect a W-2 at the end of the year that you pay taxes on, you can't shift income. And you know what? That means you're going to get stuck with the bill.
Yes.
When all these rich people bail out or shift income so that they can delay taxes or move taxes, and yes, and there's nowhere else for the money to come from, it's the blue-collar wage earner, right, the W-2 earner, that's going to get stuck paying the bill. Do not let these legislators tell you that, oh, we're going to make the rich pay. It's going to be the middle class again that's going to get stuck holding the bag.
Right. It's absolutely true. And because a lot of people don't understand the tax code, that's why this might gain traction. Hopefully only a little.
Well, it's easy. Bernie Sanders was railing about it just the other day. Make the rich pay their fair share.
Yeah, he was railing about it. Interrupting, being rude. Yeah, I saw the video of that.
Oh, yeah. So, hey, we don't want to waste the whole segment talking about that. I promise we're going to move on to a different topic. And we wanted to share an article. Well, it'd be wonderful if you could see the video. There's a video out there of a Senate caucus that happened just a few days ago where Phil Baruth, the Senate pro tem, I believe,
yes,
is on video ranting and raving.
It is quite the rant.
It's unbelievable.
Reminded me of some sort of a rant that you would see Hugo Chavez making.
So the only way to explain this is to read a little bit. Rob Roper from Behind the Lines did an article. It's called Senate President Pro Tem's Disgraceful Anti-Small-D Democratic Rant. And you can find it at Rob Roper's Behind the Lines Substack, or I'm pretty sure it was on
Vermont Daily Chronicle.
And probably on Granite Grock as well. But
could be.
Let me just read a little bit here. Kicking off, welcome back, Senate Democratic Caucus meeting on March 12th. Senate President Pro Tem Phil Baruth took the microphone for 5.5 minutes. Action-packed rant that included telling his colleagues not to pay attention to constituent objections to their climate policies. They are passing these bills anyway. And he went further to tell the media, if they were listening, and of course they were, not to report the cost of these policies, and threatened to take away Republican lawmakers' seat at the table if they didn't get on board with it.
How's that for open and transparent?
Well, how's this about, you know, for democracy? Democrats, they're all worried about democracy. You know, we're going to save democracy. Is democracy?
No, they're
not.
Are
you serious?
No, this is tyranny. This is insane.
So Baruth complained, every time we come out with something to mitigate the effects of climate change or to show the effects of climate change, we see a concerted campaign to slow it, alter it, or kill it. And that's because, again, one of the major parties, and that's the Republican Party in Vermont, has decided not to create policy to deal with the issue. Well there's a couple things wrong with this. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We've talked about before numerous times, how do things find their way into committee? They get put on the wall, and apparently the majority leaders get to pick what comes off what legislation.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there is Republican proposed legislation that never gets off the wall. So Phil Baruth is not being truthful with anybody listening to him do his rant. And it's now out there. Rob Ropert has it on video. He has it saved. I think it's a matter of public record.
Unbelievably so. Anybody can get online and watch this caucus. It's publicized.
Well, here's the thing, Bill.
He had the hubris.
That's another thing. We're going to go off on a little tangent.
To say this publicly, essentially.
A lot of people make their decisions with respect to politics based on emotion. And there are plenty of people who probably watched Phil Baruth's public servant. I'm going to call him, for the sake of this, public servant Baruth, not senator, because apparently he has forgotten that that's what he was elected to be.
Well, aren't we supposed to debate about bills and, you know?
Yes, exactly.
All they want to do is slow it or kill it. Well, gee, that, you know.
They're supposed to be deliberative.
Forget about democracy. No. If they don't fall in line, if they want to debate it or slow it down or kill it,
they're the bad guy.
Well, and they're gonna, and Baruth is threatening to remove them from their committees. Kick them out.
So toe our line or you're gone.
Well, an elected official, my representative or your representative, and this guy wants to take him off the table because he disagrees with me, and that's supposedly democracy?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, Rob Roper continued in his article, Republicans aren't putting forward policy here. Why? Because despite the many shortcomings of the Vermont Republican Party, its members aren't completely insane. Anyone who thinks Vermont lawmakers can or will have an impact on the global climate or Chinese, Indian, Russia climate, etc., policies regarding the same, is very politely speaking a fool. little Vermont is not going to change the global climate. And so I appreciate my Republican representatives trying to, instill some common sense in some of these bills.
I invite public servant Baruth to do a little bit of research, and it's very easy. He can go on his laptop and go on the thing we call the internet and look and see what India is doing right now. Right now.
Well, India's the one that imports plants. They're the ones that import all of the shale oil from Canada that is supposedly dirty.
Right. But they have plenty of coal and they're using it.
Sure.
China.
Of course they're going to.
I invite public servant Baruth to look into on the internet how many coal-fired power plants China is putting online per year. They're totally ignoring what the United States is doing, and any other country for that matter, to mitigate climate change, whatever you want to call it. And they're, in my opinion, and the opinion of many, many, many scientists who are in the know more than me, there is no climate emergency. But this, to me, this is all about control. And this rant was about somebody who's, I think, is fearful that they're losing the narrative.
Well, people are ticked. This is unbelievable. But Baruth continued in this video, we need to circle our wagons. We need to rededicate ourselves to getting these things through. Push them through anyway,
right.
regardless of what people think.
Regardless of how many times my co-host Bill tells our listeners who are paying attention, who are trying to stay involved, regardless of the phone calls that they get, keep pushing through. Ignore your elected.
S5 was a great example. I mean, people rallied and they called their senators. They left messages.
Well, here's the
doesn't
time.
Doesn't make any difference. They don't care. They really don't care.
That's why I say to people, I say even when we're not on the air, I talk to people all the time. I say, pay attention. Don't look at what they just say. Look at what their actions are. What did they actually do versus what they said? And make your decision based on that. Some people say, we're going to fix it. What was the fix? Did they actually fix it? Did they take the time to fix it? Or did they make you, did just incur more taxes and more financial pain for the voters of Vermont? So that's the thing. Stay involved. Apparently, public servant Baruth is very concerned that more people are getting involved and paying attention.
Well, Baruth went on to say, and this is a quote about the media. He says they're putting them on notice. They don't like the media telling people how much their initiatives are going to cost.
This is one of the things that, that made me say this sounded like a Hugo Chavez speech.
Unbelievable.
Why wasn't he just pounding on the desk?
Well, he almost railing. Was. I mean, you can watch the video yourself.
I did watch it. It ticked me off in fine shape.
Oh,
I mean,
I was so angry after that.
Arrogance.
It is absolutely unbelievable. These people really don't care. They're going to push it through anyway. Circle the wagons. Damn the public.
We've talked about this before.
We're going to save the world, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. The United Nations has gotten their ear. The World Economic Forum apparently has gotten their ear. And the World Health Organization, they don't seem to care about the voters.
They don't. We care about our listeners, though. Yes, be more do. Right side up in just a minute.
Listening to Right Side Up. My name is Mike Taglavia. My co-host is Bill Huff. We've been talking about taxation, our elected officials completely ignoring our wishes, regardless of the fact of how many phone calls, emails, text messages, personal meetings. They have an agenda, apparently, and they are moving forward with it.
Circle the wagons. We're going to push this stuff through regardless. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And before we get too deep in this, Bill, I want to remind our listeners, because I think last week I forgot, if you'd like to get a hold of us, rightsideupradio@gmail.com. Thank you to those listeners who have contacted us. And you can also, if you don't catch us on the radio, you can go to WNTK.com, look across the top of the header, click on podcast, find Right Side Up, and click on it, and you can listen to a number of our shows. So, and any time of the day or night. So, and you can share it with your friends if you like it. So,
and please do yes, share it. Share it with your friends. Yeah.
So, all right. Getting back into
time to get real, this, Mike.
Yeah, time to get real. So, public servant Baruth brought up something that was totally false. The Republicans have put forth some solutions, most of which never, like we talked about, get off the wall in Montpelier. That is where they actually are posted and are waiting to go into committee. So what is going to be, you're going to hear a lot, our listeners and voters are going to hear a lot more about in the coming months and weeks, is get real. And what that is the Republican reply or solution to some of the many problems that have been imposed on us.
It's a path forward. The Republicans this year are providing a path forward to fix some of the problems, the issues that we face every day.
Right. So, and it's going to be very easy to remember. It's going to be very easy to refer to. So the first one is G, the Global Warming Solutions Act.
Needs to be reformed.
It needs to be drastically reformed. Yeah.
Republicans care about the environment just as much as anybody else, but some of the provisions in the Global Warming Solutions Act are just untenable. They're unworkable.
Crippling.
Well, they're nuts. So Mike, you've got some of the facts there in front of you. This is what has already been proposed. I'm sorry, an act?
No, it's been enacted.
It's law.
Right. This was back in 2020 over the veto of Governor Scott and every elected Republican. It has the goal of lowering Vermont's greenhouse gas emissions 26% by below 2005 levels by 2025. That's very, very drastic. 40% below 1990 levels by 2030 and 80% below 1990 levels by 2050. My question is, how do we maintain any sort of industry and any way to make income for Vermonters if we were forced to follow all of these imposed rules right now?
Well, this was passed. This became law without any clear idea if it was realistic or affordable. And now we're finding out that it is neither.
It's right. It's not going to be affordable. There's just no way it can be, because there are so many questions that we still have yet to answer about this.
Right. Well, the next one, part of that Global Warming Solutions Act was why we wound up with a clean heat standard, which nobody knows really how much it's gonna cost us in the end.
Well, right now, so far, I think this year it's cost us a little over $12 million, and that's just putting in some of the framework,
the infrastructure
for it. That doesn't even bring into effect what the actual cost for our energy is going to be. That doesn't take it into consideration.
So we've talked about the Campaign for Vermont survey several times on this show, and we just want to point out that they did ask about the Global Warming Solutions Act, and 63% of Vermonters opposed that this whole Rube Goldberg scheme that was cooked up. 52% strongly opposed it.
Yeah.
Democrats and progressives didn't listen to any of us, and they didn't care. They don't care. We're going to circle the wagons. We're going to push this through anyway.
They've been coached and told by certain groups that they need to be leaders. The problem is they're going to lead us into the abyss with this.
So another part of the Global Warming Solutions Act, and here again, this is already passed. They signed on to the California Clean Cars Initiative, banning the sale of new internal combustion engine vehicles in Vermont by 2035.
So when we need to do business in the state and it's 10 degrees or 10 degrees below, we're not going to be able to get any business accomplished, because we already know that the range and the ability of these vehicles, whether they be a car or a truck, just they can't handle the cold climate.
No, they
just can't.
This provision will force Vermonters to buy cars that we don't want, that we don't have the infrastructure to support, and more likely can't afford. And
right.
Like you said, don't work particularly well in cold weather.
And
again,
how are we going to get our groceries to our grocery stores?
The Democrats and progressives don't care. They don't care.
Apparently
they
not.
They circle the wagons and they push this stuff through. They imposed it on every Vermonter, whether you liked it or not.
It's or they're just going to say, well, we can, because we can't get there yet, we're just going to have to tax heavily all of these petroleum vehicles, petroleum powered vehicles, right? I would almost guarantee that would be their solution. We'll allow it, but there's going to be an additional fee.
Well, that's part of in the transportation bill. That's the must-pass transportation bill. The Democrats and progressives, they're setting the stage for a clean transportation standard now, which is just like the clean heat and clean heat standard. But now it's going to be for transportation, and just like that clean heat standard, it's going to add significant price hikes to gasoline and diesel transportation fuels.
Already over what we already have.
Absolutely.
Right. So we can't afford it now, and it's going to be worse.
The Campaign for Vermont poll showed that 71% of Vermonters were opposed to that. Again, they don't care. This is coming as part of the transportation bill that must be passed. This is already in the works, Mike. It's coming.
This is just insane. The legislature is pushing renewable energy standard bill, also a plank in the GWSA agenda. It's estimated to add another $1 billion to Vermont's electricity bills between now and 2032. Another $1 billion. There's less than a million inhabitants right now, permanent residents of Vermont.
645,000.
Just keep bleeding us till we don't have any more.
635 residents, but that I think equates to in the neighborhood of maybe 400,000 households.
Okay.
So do the math.
Fewer taxpayers.
A billion dollars more just in electric cost.
Yeah. And it's made, this is all made so that we are solely dependent on, if the progressives and Democrats had their way, we would be mostly solely dependent on electricity only. Why is it that we have so many other options in life, but we can only have one energy option?
That's the way we're
about control. That's why.
I think I heard the other day that hydropower in 3 years was not going to be green anymore.
Why is it not? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it doesn't. It doesn't. But this is how far off the wall these people are.
If you look at it, okay. I know this. This may sound like a conspiracy theory to a bunch of people, but just hear me out, okay? If you look at it, back out a little bit, zoom out, and take a bigger picture. You take away all the options for electricity, like you said, hydropower. Could there possibly be a better one?
Probably not.
No. But if you take that away and there's only one way to get your electricity, what does it enable the Democrats and progressives and anybody else who is so drunk on power to do? It allows them, like you said, ignore this, ignore that, don't do this. If you do not toe the line, what happens? You get turned off. You get turned off. You get no heat when it's 10 degrees. You didn't toe the line. You spoke out publicly against us.
We talked about this months ago. We do get a lot of our power from Hydro-Québec, and they've sold contracts to supply power into the future that they don't even have the capacity to do.
Well, I guess they must have some sort of plans on expansion, but I guess Vermont is not going to avail itself of the additional power.
Of course, that has issues as well. If you start building more dams up there, you flood more Native American territory and caribou herds and environmental whatever. And maybe that was it. It was the environmental impact of hydro. But I wish I could remember who told me, but I think it was 3 years from now, Vermont was not going to consider hydro as being green power. So it was going to have to come from solar and wind. Can you imagine trying solar to supply this whole state on solar and wind?
No. First of all, wind is absolutely not an answer, because when you look at all the inputs for wind turbines, what it takes to build them, put them up, and maintain them, they are not the solution. At all.
No, okay. So we've outlined what has already happened and what's in the pipeline, what's coming as far as Global Warming Solutions Act is concerned. Now, here's the kicker. If you put all these things together, it's still not enough to meet those mandates that Mike outlined when we started. It's not enough.
And in this law, right, it's set up so we as a state can be sued by anybody.
If we don't meet those mandates.
Now we're through this legislature, the supermajority, we're imposing all these financial hardships on our voters, on our residents. And now because of this law, we've imposed another one.
Oh, yeah.
We've guaranteed we're going to lose a lawsuit because of the way this was worded.
So taxpayer dollars are going to go to a bunch of lawyers that are just lining up. They're salivating at the mouth.
Maybe I should sue the state so I could finance a campaign to actually fix it.
Any third party, the way the wording is, anybody can sue us as if we don't meet those mandates. And there is nobody.
Maybe that's what I should
left,
do.
Left, progressive, down. They know we're not going to meet those mandates. It's insane.
It's scientifically
the Get Real
impossible.
Campaign. That what Republicans are doing, the Get Real campaign, G is for the Global Warming Solutions Act, that needs to be reformed. We care about the environment too, but those mandates are ridiculous. We can return those to goals like they were when we first started.
Yes.
And we can eliminate this provision that allows any third party to sue us if we don't meet those
mandates. To bankrupt the state.
Yeah.
In the process of trying to meet these goals.
So, you know, I don't care what party you're affiliated with. If you're independent, even if you're on the left, if you think it's nuts that we're going to allow somebody to sue us over these things, then the Republicans are providing that path forward. Our solution. I think it was Mark Higley, a representative, has had a bill on the wall for a year and a half, I think, to repeal just the lawsuit provision in the Global Warming Solutions Act.
Here again, in rebuttal to public servant Baruth, there is something on the wall that will help solve some of these problems. And where did it go? Nowhere.
Yeah, it's going to solve some of Vermonters' problems.
Right.
People that actually live here.
With.
Well, that's
they swear an oath right. to the U.S. Constitution and the Vermont Constitution. That's who they serve.
Are you sure it's not the United Nations?
I'm not sure.
Global,
let me rephrase that. They're supposed to be serving they swore an oath to serve Vermonters.
Well,
I'm not sure who they actually are serving.
I tell you what, you start adding up everything that's, you know, the taxes, fees, the Global Warming Solutions Act. You're not going to be able to buy a car. Do you think that they're going to stop people from buying a car with an internal combustion engine? No,
they're not.
They're going to go to New York and they're going to New Hampshire to buy one. This is ridiculous.
Right. And we need to survive, and we've gotten used to internal combustion engines are not, they're just part of our life now. And the only way you're going to get rid of them is to come up with a much more efficient and less expensive solution. And that hasn't come around yet.
So come November, remember, Republicans want to get real. They want to fix your problems. In the meantime, stay safe, stay informed, listen to Right Side Up.